How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Power for Living podcast series brought to you by Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. Kick back, relax for the next 20 to 25 minutes, and let's begin.
So let us read.
Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. May God add his blessing to this additional reading of his word. Let us begin. Again, last week we discovered that when we see his grace work in our trials, and yes, trials can become blessings. And as a matter of fact, in our trials, we have the opportunity to show the genuineness of our faith. And then when we are showing that genuineness of our faith through the trials, we no longer see trials as punishments from God, but blessings that God can use to spread the gospel. Trials can indeed do that. The more difficult our situation, the more we're reflecting that testimony to others around us. This is the Lord's plan for us, that he take everything that happens in our lives and use it for his glory and for our good. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that everything that happens to us can actually be turned around and used for God's glory and for our ultimate good? But that's what Peter was talking about in last week's passage, but now this week, we're starting out by Peter saying we need to gird up the loins of your mind. Now, you might ask, what in the world does that mean? Well, have you ever been walking somewhere and had a baggy sleeve or your belt or something hang on something and you get stuck, like if you're walking through the woods and your sweater or something catches on a tree limb or whatever, or if you're walking really too close to that chair in the kitchen that has that little point that sticks up and you kind of hang something on there and you get stuck. Well, that's what this is talking about, because back in the time when Peter lived, most of the clothing that people wore was very loose. And if you had to move somewhere very quickly, that baggy thing hanging on you is going to slow you down. So what they would do is they would take this garment and they would get some leather straps and tie it up tightly around their body so when they moved, that baggy garment wouldn't hang them up and they wouldn't get stuck someplace. And so that's what Peter's talking about here. Get your mind and your heart prepared to move. Get your body and your soul and your spirit prepared to take up that leap of faith and move ahead in your faith in Christ. And that's what he's talking about here. Gird up the loins of your mind and your faith so you can actually move ahead in Jesus without all that baggy stuff hanging you up and getting you stuck along the way. And that's what Peter's saying here. Gird it up so you don't get hooked and stuck and weighed down and hindered. Now, Peter's talking about the mind because that is what he's ultimately getting at here. He's talking and using the word for mind, which is dianois, the Greek word. What that means is to think clear, to think a clear, complete, and mature thought. It means to think things through. It means to be level-headed. It means not to go gaga when the least little thing happens. It means to, like, keep your head straight. Or, as we say colloquially, keep your head screwed on straight. That's what it means here. So for the mind, he means to be sound, solid, and stable. God wants to work in your soul, your mind, and your spirit to make sure you're not confused. And that's why he's telling us, gird up your mind, get ready, and keep your level head. And then Peter talks about being sober. Well, we know what we think that means, but in the Greek, this passage, sober, means to be disciplined, steady, and again, level-headed. Not given to impulse. Not to be impulsive. Not to make impulsive decisions based on your emotions. Not to make a decision solely on an emotional basis, but to have a mature level head where you can think clearly and be straight and have Jesus working in your mind. Now, essentially also, he's kind of restating the point because he's talking about being level-headed twice here, diainos and being sober. But here's the good part. Peter's telling us that these things he's just talked about mean that our heads are going to be clear. Our spirits are going to be set free in Christ. The Lord, through Peter, is telling us that when we let him bring the order, the clarity, and sound mind to our lives, we will be freer than we have ever been before. It means, essentially, the more Jesus you have in your head, the freer you're going to be and the more clear-headed you're going to be. Does that make sense? Because when you have the author of your life firmly fixed in your soul and in your mind, that creative God is going to do the same thing in your head that he did for the world. He's going to straighten it out. And we're going to have a clear head and be able to think straight and think clearly. Now, the Lord through Peter is telling us that when we let him bring that order, clarity, and sound mind to our lives, again, we'll be freer than we ever been. And then he talks about resting your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you. And that, incidentally, is the first question on your handout today. It means to rest our hope fully upon the grace. It's not an accident that he used the word rest. And ultimately what this really means is to lighten up. Don't be so stressed and tensed out all the time. I don't think I'm growing in my faith. I'm not growing. I'm not getting mature like I ought to be. Peter's essentially telling you, chill out. Put it in the Lord's hands and let him grow you. Be at peace. Be confident and able just to know that the Lord is fully in control. And folks, that ought to make the difference in your lives and in our lives too. This brings us to the point about what's the object of that rest. Verse 13 still. And the object of that rest is upon the grace that is brought to you. That's grace that is brought to you. Now, it's very interesting here. The word in this sentence used for grace, the Greek word for grace in this sentence is charin. It means grace. And what does grace mean? It means a kind, affectionate, pleasing nature and personal gracefulness. It's a pleasing work and beauty of speech. It's a friendly willingness on the part of the giver. And that's what Christ did for us. He freely gave. And it was a friendly thought and his kind heart towards us that brought him to the place to grant us and to provide for us so great a salvation. And it was his kind heart of love for us that brought the salvation to us. And Peter's reassuring us here, this now really mature disciple who was number one with hoof and mouth disease during his walk with Jesus in the world. But now he's showing that maturity, that level-headedness that he's talking about here, telling us that the Lord wants to give us grace. And that indeed, the heart of the Lord towards us is kind and willing to give. That's the example he sets for us. Being willing to give to the point of giving his life for us. That's the kindness of God. That's the love of Christ for us. Now moving on, still in verse 13 though, Peter talks about the revelation of Jesus Christ. When will this happen? Well, it's happening right now. Because we have all had a revelation of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, guess what? This room would be empty. No one would be saved. If we hadn't had an experience of the revelation of Jesus Christ, no one would be saved. Because you got saved because Jesus revealed himself to you as the Savior and Master of the world and your personal Lord and Savior, drawing you to himself, giving you more revelation of God than to which we were ever entitled. That's the revelation we have that brought us to Christ. But Peter is also talking about that great day in the future, this glorious day that's sung about so often in hymns and songs, I'll fly away and all that stuff. He's talking about the ultimate revelation of Jesus Christ when Christ does indeed return. And we will on that day see him as he truly is. A magnificent, glorious, holy Lord who is perfect in all of his ways. That will be the ultimate revelation of Jesus Christ, and it will be on that day when the final stage of our salvation is completed. You remember for the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the three levels of our salvation. You were justified, now we're in the process of being sanctified, and then at the revelation of Jesus Christ on that last day, when he breaks through the clouds and touches his foot down on the Mount of Olives, when he returns, that will be the day we are glorified. When the resurrection takes place and we do meet the Lord that day. However, if there's some of us who go ahead and we get called home before that happens, we will still see the glorified Lord. Because when you are in his presence in that throne room, you will know you are in the presence of the glorified risen Lord. We all want to see that glorious Lord seated on his throne. Amen?
Amen.
Peter wrote, not conforming to the former lusts. This is verse 14. Peter is ultimately here talking about where we do not conform to the former lusts. He's talking about an ultimately Jesus-centered, Holy Spirit-fired, complete, total makeover of our mind, our heart, and our personalities. It's a major redo. It's like you go back and hit the reset button. He cleans out everything and he makes us over from the inside out. It's a total makeover. The question is, how do we keep going now that the Lord has changed us? Because we're talking about not conforming to that old way and having the new way. And how do we get to that place where we have that cleaned up mind and heart? So how do we keep going? And here's the deal. Worship, Bible reading, and prayer. There's no secret formula. You can't wish your past away. You can't make it go away on your own, so it means we have to get into a close, communication-rooted relationship with Jesus. Notice the communication-rooted relationship with Jesus. The more time you spend with him in his presence, the more you long to be like him. Because the more you meet of Jesus, the more you see of Jesus through worship, prayer, and Bible reading, the more glorious he starts to look, and the more you want to be like him, and guess what? The more you want to be with him. The more beautiful he becomes to you, the more you desire more of him. It was A.W. Tozer who said something to the effect of, to have found God and still to pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. When you find God, I found God. Well, actually, he found you. Because God was never lost. You don't have to go find him. We were the lost ones. He had to come find us. The more you know of him, the more you want. He's already caught us. We're in relationship with him, but we still want more. Think about it. It's like when you fall in love with your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, or your girlfriend, and you're with them, and you love them. But if you're really loving them, you desire to want to love them more. When you're in a love relationship with someone, you love them a little bit, but then you're supposed to grow in that love to where you love them more. And you want to love them more. You desire to love them more. And that first moment when you realized you loved that person, you realize that little amount of love is no longer enough. You want to just grow and have that love deepen to where you know their most intimate thoughts and they know your most intimate thoughts. Where almost you can just look at one another and know what each other is thinking. Well, that's what we want with Jesus. We want to grow to the point where he shares his thoughts with us and to where we can sense what he wants for us to do. And this is ultimately why we always talk about more worship, more prayer, and more Bible study, more personal time with the Lord. We need to grow up to the point that we are victorious in our struggles, that we have the former way of life swept away, and that we continue the process of emerging as new creations in Christ, sanctified and able to live a holy life. And this brings us to our next point, verses 15 and 16, where Peter quotes that passage in the Old Testament, "Be holy, for I am holy." The first thing we need to remember about verse 15 is Peter reminds us that we have been called. This is the Greek word kaleo, and what it means is to be called out and to be summoned. Here's where Peter's going with this. This level of calling means that we're to be image bearers of Christ on our lives. And then to be able to be that image bearer of Christ, we have to desire to truly, in one way, to become a saint. Although we are saints in Christ once we've been saved and justified, he goes on further and says what the Lord said, and it's written from Leviticus 11:44, "Be holy, for I am holy." Now, we all want to be the best at something, don't we? We all want to be the best we can be. We want to have that sparkling personality. We all want to be confident, genuine, and real. But we also want to be respected, and we want to be loved, and we want to be seen as this polished, confident person. To accomplish this, we have to give more of ourselves away and become more like Jesus. As this happens, we're supposed to become more of that person we've always known we need to be. Now, that's a key distinction. We may not eventually become the person we wanted to be. He's trying to make us that best person we can possibly be, but it's as we grow in his image that we become that. And how do we do this? Well, first we begin the process to become more like Jesus because he first puts his righteousness in us. That's the first step. To be like Jesus, he puts his righteousness in us. As his righteousness is reflected in us, our thought process should begin to change. This is the process of becoming holy. As our thought process begins to change, we start noticing that the things that are important to God start becoming important to us. He reorders our priorities. Those things that we thought were so important before, we find ourselves not too enamored with that stuff. We find ourselves being concerned about lost souls, missionary work, reaching out to the poor, helping feed and clothe the needy. We start thinking more about being and doing Christian things, things that are the priority of Christ. How does this happen? Well, again, we spend time with him in worship, in prayer, Bible reading. He actually changes our opinion of going to church, Bible reading, and prayer. We start enjoying these things, or at least we're supposed to. We're supposed to start enjoying spending time in prayer and worship and Bible study. And as we grow in this process, we actually have to start seeing them as no longer boring tasks that we just have to endure. We start seeing worship, Bible study, and prayer as precious and wonderful and valuable. We start longing to want to go to church and worship and Bible study. It's a process as we grow and as we continue to become more like Jesus and we start valuing the things that he values, our opinions of all of these things do change. As we spoke earlier, He cleans our heads. There's a verse in Scripture that covers this, and it's Psalm 119, verses 9 and 10. How does a man keep his way pure? He hides the Lord's word in his heart. That's how this process begins. Hide God's word in your heart. The more of God's word you have in your heart and your mind, the cleaner your mind gets. And then we start reflecting the grace of the Lord as this process continues. With that kind, affectionate nature Paul talks about in Colossians 3, 12 through 17, if we have been buried with Jesus in baptism, we can, as Paul says in this Colossians passage, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We put on the character of Christ, and we can teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We do all in the name of the Lord. We do what we do in Jesus' name. We start not complaining about the things we have to do. We do them as noble tasks, realizing that it's something where God can be glorified in our lives when we have to do these things. But they become joyful because we're doing it as unto the Lord. And this is part of the growth process. We start to have personal victory over the old self. Romans 6:6 says that our old man was crucified with him. To be crucified with him means we slowly learn to let go of the old man. As we learn and work with him to do that, the new man arises. As we let him wash us, and as we grow, we start spending more time in his presence. And here's the key detail. At some point, when we've grown in this holiness process, the deepest cry of our heart will be, Lord, show me your glory. We will no longer be content with our old self. We'll start longing and hungering for Jesus more, and nothing this world has to offer will satisfy. We'll find ourselves more able to deal with what goes on in the world when this takes place. Is everybody following along here today? Because it sounds like this is some dull recitation of a bunch of scripture verses about how, yes, we get all cleaned up and the process goes. But what Peter is relating to us here is probably one of the most exciting things in the world that we can ever experience is our growth process in Christ, to where we start even beginning to notice the changes in our lives. You see, this is the irony of this whole thing. As we continue to do the things that we're supposed to do, which is worship, Bible study, and prayer, and all these other things, God is in the process of doing the changing. And that's the exciting part of this, is we start discovering the differences in our lives that we didn't even know we had. We start discovering that we're different because we didn't do the changing. He did the changing as we just continue to grow in our process where we love him more and we seek him more and we read the scriptures more. And the more exciting part is, yeah, Lord, I see now I'm not that guy I used to be. And God, I thank you for that. I'm not fearful. I'm not nervous. I don't burst out in anxiety fits. I don't have all this stuff. It doesn't overcome me. I'm able to keep a clear head now. And then what we do is we just say, thank you, Lord. Verse 18 says, and this is also part of the process. Later on, as we grow, we start valuing also the fact that we weren't redeemed by corruptible things. It starts becoming a really wonderful fact to us that we weren't redeemed by money, power, and all the things of the world says that we need to be changed or be new or be fresh or be alive. That we weren't redeemed by any of that. We were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. But also, he talks about also in verse 18, our aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. What is Peter talking about there? Well, what he's talking about is that without Christ, most of us have no ambition or purpose. And we rely on the past. We rely on our ethnic traditions. We rely on our family heritage. We think that because of who we are in this world, that's significant and that's going to save us. But we realize that where we came from is not what saves us. What saved us is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we start in this holiness process, just being amazed that we were saved by such a simple but amazing thing, the precious blood of the Lamb. And notice Peter says that Jesus' blood is precious. And this should change how we think about Jesus. And we've talked about that already a lot. But we begin to value Jesus so much more. We honor and we worship Him. And as this process continues, it becomes our heart cry to want to give Him glory in what we do. Our priority is suddenly glorifying the Lord. Our priority is suddenly living a life that is pleasing to Him. We're not taken up by all this stuff. And we realize that nothing in the world can satisfy. And that would be one of the greatest things that we can take away from any of this today. And I can't emphasize it enough. Is that as we grow to be more like saints, as we proceed in that sanctification process and become more like Jesus, and that we just want to glorify Him more. And I know it sounds like we've gone over and around and around and around with the same point, but that's the point that Peter's trying to make, is that if we are holy as He commands us to be, our greatest desire is to want to be like Him and to want to be more like Him. And it's no longer a boring thing. It becomes precious and priceless and something that we realize we can't live without. Because we get to the end and we see, Lord, I don't want to live without You, but I realize, Lord, I can't live without You. And that should be the end result of all of this today. As He washes our minds and He does all of those things and we continue to pursue Him, we realize that we can't live without Jesus. And that should be what we come away with us today. Let's pray and give Him thanks for our great salvation. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, make us holy. Show us Your glory. Make us who You want us to be, because, Lord, we know that that's the only way we're going to become that real person we need to be, is if You take control. And make us who You want us to be. God, change my heart so I can be satisfied with that, because that's the best of all possible alternatives. And we pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
And there you have it, folks. That's the end of this week's episode. If you want to listen to more of our other episodes, you can do so by going to ctknorthshore.tumblr.com. That's the main website for now. You can go ahead and watch our sermon in video mode if you'd like. We have a YouTube page as well as our Facebook and Twitter page. And until then, we'll see you guys next week.